covering the latest in Toronto sports news, rumors, and predictions. This is the TSV Podcast. Here's your host, Connor Chambers.
All right, welcome back to Season 2, Episode 6 of the TSV Podcast. As always, I am your host, Connor Chambers. You can check us out on Twitter at @TO_sportsviews. And of course, you can look at the website, torontosportsviews.com. Going to be rocking another little solo dolo pod today. I'm just going to solely focus on our beloved Toronto Maple Leafs. Been talked off the ledge. I was ready to jump, especially after that rigged-ass draft. Rangers getting Lafreniere, you know what I'm talking about. But I figured I wanted to give it a couple days, kind of cool down, gather my emotions, and say what I had to say about the Leafs, because you know what, there's a lot to unpack about this series. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my own synopsis of the series, what went wrong for the Leafs, what I would consider moving forward, and then I'm going to answer all your questions at the end. I did ask you guys to send me some questions for this podcast. If you didn't know, the handle again is at @TO_sportsviews. Very active on there, and a few of my followers were able to get some questions in, which I will answer at the end. So, you know the vibes around here. Everyone just sit back, relax, crack a cold one, and enjoy with me, because this is going to be a ride, let me tell you. So, let's break it down. In the words of Austin Matthews, it's embarrassing. That was not a great series at all. You could say, well, Connor, they went into five games. Like, that's the game four was good. Well, they lost. They took an L. They did not show up for game five. You can't win a game if you score zero goals. They did that twice. Can't happen. What went wrong in the series against Columbus, you might ask? Well, what do you think went wrong? There was a lot, man. All right, men and women. Low team hockey IQ was really shown for me in the series. There were a lot of things. There were a lot of smart plays that were made consistently by the same people. You know, Austin Matthews, John Tavares, except for game one. Morgan Riley made a lot of smart plays. A couple stupid ones, but mainly smart plays. When he was out on the ice, Jake Muzzin. Alex Kerfoot, I thought, had a good series. Jason Spezza, Kyle Clifford. But, like, there's some notable names missing that produced a lot of low IQ plays, which I will get to. But our defense sucks. It's Morgan Riley, it's Jake Muzzin, and a bunch of AHL scrubs. That's it. That's all you got. You got all I would bring back next year from that defensive core is Morgan Riley and Jake Muzzin. That's all you can trust. Cody Ceci, garbage. Justin Hall was great till he grabbed his bag. Garbage. Matty Marinson. I don't know how the fuck this guy finesses a job. This dude is the Patrick McCaw of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He finds a way on every team, finesses a job. Guy's got some blackmail on Babcock and Keefe and Dubas and Shanny. He's got the whole fucking stash. He probably found him on OnlyFans or some shit. And he's got the whole fucking stash on him, I'm telling you. That dude has found a way to stick on this team for 6 years. 6 years! 6 years too long. Guy's got to go. And who else am I missing? Dermott hasn't developed the way we would have liked him to. I think everybody can agree on that. Dermott, to me, right now at his current level, is your 5th, 6th D on a good defensive squad. You should be a third pairing. That's not what we envisioned for him. We envision him top four easy, slots into there. He hasn't shown it this year. He's still young, though. So there's always time to turn it around. I don't know if I would cut bait on him just yet. But, and talking about in terms of people that I could trust, it's Riley and it's Muzzin, because the fucking Barry experiment failed. Miserably. Miserably. Barry was hot garbage this year. And I know you could say, well, he had great offensive numbers when Keefe came in, which is true. He did. But he was just so lackluster defensively. He made so many low IQ plays for me. So that is his last game in the blue and white, if it were up to me. Talking about low IQ, and I think this kind of might go hand in hand. No sense of urgency from probably about 90% of the team. The only ones that showed up from urgency from my point of view was Matthews, Morgan Riley, like I said, John Tavares, except for game one, Kerfoot, Spezza, Muzzin, Clifford. That's it. Where's Marner? Where's Nylander? Where's Kapanen? I'm not gonna throw Janssen in there. He was in there for one game. Actually, you know what? Fucking Nick Robertson had more sense of urgency than most of these guys on there. The kid's 18 years old. He can't even drink. He can't go with the boys after the game, Selly, and crush pints. And this dude is out there with more heart and hustle than 90% of the team. Absolutely embarrassing. I will say, though, it doesn't help that we ran into some hot goaltending. Because the tandem of Korpisalo and Merzlikins were lethal. Lethal. They had... Korpisalo had one game where I actually think that his team let him hang out to dry in that second game. Merzlikins got absolutely pounded in the final few minutes by, on paper, what should be the best offensive line in hockey, the nuclear line with Tavares, Matthews, and Marner, where his team just kind of collapsed in front of him. The goalies, other than that, were just absolutely fantastic for Columbus. So I will give credit where credit is due. They did make some massive saves, and their back muscles are bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger's because they fucking carried that team, I'll tell you that. What I didn't like to see from the Leafs, and I think that this was a big turning point, was game three, the start of game three. You're coming off a Muzzin injury in game two, right near the end. Dubois with a very sus hit, sus being suspicious, hit on Jake Muzzin, takes an awkward bounce off the boards, neck into the leg of I can't remember who, and he's motionless and they take him off. It was kind of stated on the Sportsnet panel after game three, but these were my thoughts going into game three as well, where they had a massive opportunity to send a message to the Blue Jackets and Pierre-Luc Dubois specifically. They had a golden opportunity to say to that team and to that player, you don't fuck with us. You don't do this to one of our better defensemen. You are not allowed to do this to our team. And I don't know if it was a team decision. I don't know if the players just didn't want to get involved and get their nails dirty and anything. No, you need to get in there. You need to send a message to Dubois. You need to go at him, whether that's a fight, whether he's got to answer the bell somehow. The bell has to be rung, though, and the bell was not rung by the Leafs. A little disappointed that my boy Clifford, the big red dog, was not unleashed off the big leash to go get him. And I don't know if that was Clifford saying he didn't want to do that, or if that was a coaching staff or management or whoever. What did Dubois do that game? Do you remember? Because I do. Got a goddamn hat trick, won the game for them in overtime. Because guess what? He could freely skate around like nothing happened and they were all good buddies. Here you go, Pierre-Luc. Here's your space on the ice. Go score a hat trick against us, the game where you absolutely fucking dummied our defenseman. Are you kidding me? It's a joke. It's a joke that that response was not made. To me, that was a massive turning point. I was looking for it in the first period. I thought, well, okay, you know what? Maybe it comes in the second period. It still might even be too late, but if it comes, it comes. Didn't see it in the second. Obviously didn't see it in the third. There's no shot that they were going to do it after they missed their opportunity. That was a massive opportunity missed. Someone dropped the ball there. Don't know who it was. Don't know whose decision it was to do that, but somebody dropped the ball. Not too pleased with it. A couple of invisibles. Like I said, Marner, until maybe like the final game and then that 4 minute span where he got like three assists because everything was so hectic. Up until that point, he was falling around like he was Bambi, couldn't stay up on his feet. He had no sense of urgency, and he even said that himself, especially in game one. Marner, my guy, you held out. You held out. You wanted the big paycheck. You wanted the big bucks. You held out. So when you do that, and when you make a big stink and you want the bag, if you deserve the bag, you deserve the bag. But then now you have to go play. Like, you're one of the top five players in the NHL. Did you do that in that playoff series? No, you did not. To me, disappointing. I still believe in Marner. He's still very young. But if you're making that money and you want that money, you gotta understand the responsibility and the criticism that's gonna come with it. You have to. William Nylander, he had, for me, I thought he had a really good regular season. Obviously, I don't think that break helped him very much, because I don't remember. He scored, what, one goal? I don't remember him in the series. That's not a good thing. You count on him as your fourth guy in the scoring pecking order. Got Matthews, Tavares, Marner, in whatever order you want to put them in. Nylander's right there. You got to produce, my guy. Tyson Barrie, I talked about him, just absolutely invisible. The guy's been a ghost practically all year. He had a great spurt when Sheldon Keefe came in, like I mentioned. But God, man, you're not getting $8 million this year, my guy. You're not getting $8 million. No way. Absolute liabilities. These are different from being invisible, because invisibles, you're just kind of like, well, where were they? Absolute liabilities, you notice them for the fucking wrong reasons. Let me begin. Cody Ceci. You make $4 million for missing the net by about 20 feet. Who decided that it was a good idea to give this guy $4 million? I don't know. Enjoy your last days in a Maple Leafs uniform, my dude. Blue and white doesn't suit you. Justin Hall, he played very well before he secured the bag. Like I mentioned, he got the bag and he basically said, okay, I'm done. Okay, see you. And off he went. And he was done. That guy had so many defensive lapses, created a lot of unnecessary turnovers in the defensive zone, which led to a lot of two-on-ones. Neutral zone, just not moving the puck well. He's not seeing his teammates. His vision, his IQ, his puck handling, I thought it was all below what you need to expect from a guy like Justin Hall. Absolute liability on the ice. And Martin Marinson, when he came in for the first game he came in, I thought he was okay. That last game, though, was horrendous. And that better be the last time that I see Martin Marinson on the ice skating in the blue and white for the Leafs. If you're throwing Matt Marinson onto the ice, you have a problem. You have a massive problem. Rasmus Sandin will be up with the big club next year. But I think that they tried to get Marinson into the game, because I kind of scratched my head as to why Marinson was in instead of Rasmus Sandin. And I think that they were just really trying to get that defensive presence down, where they figured that Marinson would be a better defender than Sandin. But oh my god, guys. Marinson shouldn't even be on the Marlies. Get him on the bus off to the KHL, the ECHL, I don't care. I'm sick of having to watch that guy play games for the Leafs. If that is your 6th, 7th fringe man or fringe defenseman, if you would be playing NHL 20, CHL 20, see a guy like, oh, he's fringe defenseman, and that's your fringe defenseman, you have a problem. You need to see that. That guy shouldn't even be sniffing NHL ice. He should never know what the inside of an NHL dressing room looks like anymore. Is it harsh? Yes. Is it deserved? Yes. I'll stop harping on liabilities, but I will say collectively, there's a massive problem with the mentality of this group. It's not the same mentality as we've seen from the other teams in the playoffs. Sense of urgency isn't there. The drive, the willingness isn't there. We saw it for 4 minutes. If the Leafs execute that mindset for a full 60 minutes, they may never lose in the playoffs. But somewhere along the way, there's been a lot of players that haven't been held accountable. And that really just sit there and think that they can take their foot off the gas. If Nylander's got an open lane, he takes it. But if there's any resistance, no, I can't make my way through this. There is a problem with the mentality of this team. And the longer you let this plant sit there, the more its roots start to grow and develop and poison others. How does this change? I don't know. I'm not the coach. I'm not the GM. I don't know what goes on in the locker room. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. If players talk shit about other players, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I see on the ice. And what I see on the ice is a group that banks too much on their skill when it's too late. And I think that that's a massive problem for this team. One person I haven't talked about, Freddie Anderson. Great regular season goalie. Kind of always has a shitty October, but then once November comes around, he seems to really pick it up. But the regular season and the playoffs are two different beasts. Can he be trusted in the playoffs moving forward? Last 8 potential series clinching games for Freddie Anderson in his career in the playoffs. His record, 0-8. His goals against average, 3.49. His save percentage, 877. Can't close out games. If you read the stats and you're a metrics guy, that is pretty telling. 8 games are a significant sample size. He can't close out the big games for you. What's the answer here? I don't know. But I'm not confident in him to close out important games for us anymore. You know, I've believed in him. And when the team has come back with different groups, I said, well, you know what? This is a more experienced group. This is a group that if he lets in a couple goals, that's fine. They'll be able to score 3 or 4. He got left out to dry in game 5 by the team not scoring goals. I'm not going to say that, you know, it's completely on Freddie Anderson because the offense wasn't there. But, you know, there are soft goals let in by Freddie Anderson in moments that shouldn't be. It's just, if you watch the game, you notice that, and that's demoralizing to a team. Now, even if Freddie Anderson only let in 1 goal, this team was going to lose by the result of what the offense produced. But that would have given them a fighting chance. And we wouldn't be sitting here talking about, well, can Freddie Anderson close out games if he put out a good game? But to me, his game 5 was not stellar. And I don't know if that falls completely on Freddie Anderson or if that falls completely on the defense or if it's a mix of both. I would say it's a mix. But the numbers don't lie. That's 8 games, series clinching games that you have not won, where your goals against average and your save percentage have been abysmal. So I saw someone throw out this thing where they said that they would get Freddie Anderson traded for Matt Murray. No, I wouldn't do that. Look, there's a reason why Tristan Jarry replaced Matt Murray in the playoffs. I'm not a huge Matt Murray guy. I haven't ever really been. I don't think that he would be the answer to this team, to be completely honest, and I'd rather have Freddie Anderson over Matt Murray. But I don't know if there's a clear upgrade. I don't know if you can make an upgrade over Freddie Anderson right now. I think you got to ride him out until the contract's over and then hope that one of Ian Scott or Wall, Joseph Wall, I think. Shit, I can't remember his first name. Ian Scott and Wall. Hopefully one of them blossom into what you think. Because I think that both those goalies have the potential of being stellar goalies. Or at least having a good 1-2 tandem like what Columbus has. Ian Scott has posted great numbers in WHL. I know he's a bit hurt this year. Wall posted great numbers for USA in the World Junior Championships. He's always been a pretty stellar goalie and one of the top goalies selected in his draft class when the Leafs took him. I'm just, you know, the Leafs haven't had a homegrown goalie in a very long time. It's been a while. People thought Garrett Sparks might have been the man. Were they ever wrong? That guy sucks. That guy sucks. Just please no more Garrett Sparks in our system. Just one guy pan out. I don't care if it's Scott or Wall. I really don't. I just want one of them to pan out. It would be nice if it's Ian Scott, though he's Canadian. I'll move on just to kind of put my GM cap on a little bit. What I would consider moving forward for this team is a lot. Look, the Leafs can just knock next door and say, hey, Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster, I'm a take your blueprint. I'm going to take your blueprint real quick on how to build a winning team, and then I'm just going to borrow it, and then I'll bring it back. Raptors currently hold the NBA's longest active streak of consecutive months with a winning record at 24 months. So they have not had a losing record in a month for 24 months played. That's two calendar years, or basically three seasons, of not having a losing month. Second closest team is the Dallas Mavericks at six. So their streak is four times longer than the second place Dallas Mavericks. There's got to be some formula in that recipe that's working. They're clicking. People come to expect the Raptors to be perennial contenders and to be good ones at that. Raptors have made some bold moves that fan base didn't like at first. You know, DeMar DeRozan, fan favorite, gone. People said Masai did him dirty, firing Dwayne Casey, coach of the year, gone. You can't do that to him. He's coach of the year. Who fires coach of the year? Who does that? Who trades away the heart and soul of his team, DeMar DeRozan, for a guy in Kawhi Leonard that might not even be back next year, might not even report? And you're going to hire Dwayne Casey's assistant coach, Nick Nurse? You're going to hire internally the dude that's been part of this choking in the playoffs? They had the formula. They knew what was going on, right? They had that blueprint. They made some bold moves. They knew that the current group that they had, it peaked, plateaued, whatever you want to call it. It was time to make the necessary moves to improve. They needed the guy. They got the guy. And that guy took his mentality, took his DNA. He uprooted the choking that was the Toronto Raptors. He pulled that weed out and he planted a beautiful tree. And that tree was winning. And guess what? Stayed with this team even when he left. He said, okay, I'm going to leave this tree here. I'm gone. And that tree has sprouted. The belief, the mentality changed in the Toronto Raptors in that year. And that's what the Leafs need. How do they achieve this? That's a great question. For me, I start with the core four. I look at them. I say, one of you got to go. Core four, it is Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander. Are you saying to trade Matthews? Are you saying to trade Tavares? No. Matthews isn't going anywhere. Tavares is our captain. I don't think he goes anywhere unless something absolutely drastic happens. Nor am I advocating for either of those two to go, because I think that they're both stellar, and elite centermen in the league are quite hard to come by. So keep those two. It leaves Marner and Nylander. And if you're going to look at those two and you're going to weigh them, I'd be more inclined to trade or move Nylander for a more solid, true defenseman who isn't afraid to get dirty. I have some names that I'll throw out there in a bit. But I'll get to those when I answer your questions, because one of them is about potential Marner and Nylander trades. So I'll save that till the end. You move away Nylander's contract. You save maybe a few million by trading for a defenseman or somebody who makes, you know, less than, I think his cap hit off the top of my head, top dome is $6.9 million. So you save a few million. And then you look to sign another defenseman in free agency. You know, some guy that's in the $4-4.5-5 million range, maybe. You could go out and spend big on Pietrangelo if you miss on him, or if the value is too high. You have to sign somebody else, somebody that fits that mold. You're going to have Morgan Rielly next year, obviously, being the anchor of that defense. Rasmus Sandin, I think, will be asked to take more of a role next year in this team. He could be another offensive spark plug for this squad and maybe try to do what Barry couldn't. So you got a couple offensive dudes there on the in the blue line, so maybe lock down with the rest of like a Muzzin-type defenseman. Looking at that type of mold, trying to bring someone in like that. You got a couple free agents you like to bring back, right? Spezza and Clifford are two that come to mind. They're one of the few who actually gave a shit during the series. So you had Spezza dropping the gloves and fighting. That dude's ancient. That dude is literally antique. He's 40, he's like 45, this dude, which I know he's not. I'm just, yeah, go with it. Spezza has been vocal about his desire to return too. So, let's go here. Let's get him. Let's put your number? Let's put pen to paper. Dude's a great spark plug for this team. A good vet. All right. So with that being said, that's kind of where I would start with this team. The intricacies, I would look to explore trades on Kapanen and Johnsson. You got Nick Robertson. He's going to be making his move up. I think we all know his move to the big club is going to happen at the start of next year. Makes one of those guys expendable, especially if you trade away Nylander. You could look to move Kapanen or Johnsson. Either one by me is fine to go. They didn't give me the type of season that I thought that I was going to receive really from either of them. Slightly disappointed. Their value is not great right now, to be completely honest with you. I don't know what you could get. So I don't even know what a trade would look like for those guys. I don't know what the market dictates at this point for dudes like Kapanen and Johnsson who aren't coming off great seasons. You know, Johnsson has been plagued with injury and Kapanen wasn't fantastic. Kapanen has the higher upside, I would say. So if teams are willing to pay a little bit more for that upside, I would pull the trigger. Easy. I'm going to shift to the questions now because, look, this really depresses me talking about the Leafs losing again. So time to wrap this up. First question comes from ShamWow, at ShamWow712. Question, why do the Leafs suck so bad? Well, that's a great question, ShamWow, one that I've been trying to answer for years. But I'll kind of allude to what I said at the beginning. This team has shown no desire to dig deep to win. It's either a chemistry or a mentality issue. It's something. There's something there. The pieces have been put around to succeed on paper. They are a good team. They should be doing better than losing in the qualifying round of the playoffs, and they're not getting it done. There needs to be a change. I've illustrated a few ways I would change a team, but I'm really curious to see what Dubas and Shanahan do. Speaking of that, next question comes from Paul Edwards at Paulie35 or 00. Dubas done. It's clear the way of building this team doesn't work. Who takes over? Hell, Shanny and Dubas both gone. Not yet for me. Still a little bit too early. I'm curious to see what changes they make to this current squad next year. The holes are pretty obvious. I don't know how they're going to fill them. This is why I'm curious to see what they're going to do. Are they going to go completely analytics heavy? Are they going to rely on the eye test a little bit more and make a hybrid model, which is what I'm a fan of? I do like analytics to an extent, but there's some things that you need the eye test for. And there's some things that can't be measured on paper or can't be or not full extent shown on the stat sheet. So we also have to remember there's still a good amount of Lou Lamoriello imprinted on this team. So I'd really like to see what a full Dubas team would look like. And how they would play and how they would gel together. I'm kind of curious to see that. I know you didn't mention him, but I'm going to give Sheldon Keefe a hard pass on this. I don't put any blame on Sheldon Keefe. His first, you know, it wasn't even a full year. His first three quarter of a year for Sheldon Keefe. He got the boys a little bit more motivated. The record there, they were on pace if it was a full year under him for like 108 points or something like that, or 105 five, one of those things, they were on pace for if he had been with the team for the full year. So, no, I give him another year or two. Just see what happens. If they suck for like a year or two consistently more and they can't get out of the first round, then maybe. But for me, a little too soon. Next one comes from friend of the show, Rich Burfer at Richard Burfs. When will the Leafs lose in the first round to the Bruins next season? First of all, fuck you. Secondly, you can't lose to the Bruins if you don't make the playoffs next year, buddy. So there you go. Honestly, though, I hate Boston. They're a nightmare matchup for the Leafs. Physicality wise, that top line, that God squad line that they roll out of Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand, just seems to absolutely dummy our defense because our defense is Swiss cheese. So I hope their window closes this season, but you know they're up 1-0 in the series against Carolina, so we'll see. Chara can only skate for so long, right? The guy's got to fall apart at some point, I hope. Last question comes from Lucas DiRocco at Lucas DiRocco. Potential Marner-Nylander trades. So I was kind of holding off on this in the show. I'm going to break it down. I think that, like I said, I think Nylander is a more realistic option to be moved here. Just based on his contract, you know, other young guys moving up. It makes some forwards expendable. I think Nylander is going to be the one to go if you want to, if you want a decent return on something. I think it's going to be Nylander. So a couple trades for Nylander. I got two here that I think could be realistic. Nylander for Jacob Slavin and a third round pick from Carolina. Hurricanes could use another scoring threat. They have a plethora of defensemen. It's literally riches, and it's embarrassing how many good defensemen they have on their team. Slavin can contribute offensively while still being solid on defense. He can still be an anchor while he does add an offensive element. And Nylander could be the scoring threat or the winger that they've also been looking for to be on. Whether it's on the top line or second line, they need more offensive help. If you're going to nitpick at the Hurricanes, it's going to be that speed and offensive help. Like, his speed complements their team well. So, I think it could be both good and advantageous for both. Nylander gets a fresh start. Slavin can kind of become more of a prominent role in the Leafs. Nylander for Connor Murphy in a first or second, depending on if you think a first might be too steep, from Chicago. So Connor Murphy, big body, right-handed shot. He blocks shots. He hits a lot. He could fit well into a Leafs team that I think truly needs more defense. I was kind of looking at guys that were more defensive defensemen. Slavin was just nice because he does play defense but still adds an offensive element. Could also look at a guy like Josh Manson. I don't know what kind of pick would be attached to that, but Josh Manson is another name that comes to mind from the Ducks. But going back to the Chicago trade, you know, I think Chicago might have interest in it. It unites the Nylander brothers together, makes them a little bit younger on offense. Could play with Taves and give them that speed, potentially. Who knows? Maybe. I don't know. This is Kubalik, Taves, Nylander? Maybe. That could be a lethal line. Like, I don't know if you want to throw Kane in there with Taves. I know they've broken them up consistently. But, or you just go dominant line of Nylander, Taves, and Kane. Kubalik slides down and you have more of a well-rounded team. So could be advantageous for both. That's what I would say for Nylander. Marner trades, it's tougher to gauge his value, right? Like, he's got that bigger cap hit. It's in the tens, but there are teams that are willing to pay for him. There are teams that would love to have a Marner on their team. And if you're one of those teams out there that doesn't really want to pay them an exorbitant amount, Marner, I believe, per year only has $7 million per year left on his deal because it was hella front-loaded. A lot of that came off the books this year, whereas his cap hit stays obviously the same in the tens, but a team that's, you know, of a cheaper or a less advantageous financial position than the Toronto Maple Leafs might be a little bit more inclined to make that trade. So one of the teams that really had interest in Marner when he was an RFA was Columbus. You're thinking, why would you make a trade with Columbus right now? They just whacked you. Well, who knows? Marner for Werenski in a first. No way the Blue Jackets trade away Seth Jones. But maybe they're willing to move Zach and a pick to get a deal done. Like I said, they had massive interest in Marner as an RFA. So if a Marner trade were to happen, I would expect the Blue Jackets to be all over it. One of the first teams to pick up the phone and say, what do we need to do to get this deal done? Werenski in a first, I think, is acceptable for me. Werenski is a top pairing defenseman. You saw how valuable he was to the Blue Jackets in the playoffs. Like I said, I don't think that they'll trade Seth Jones for a winger. As good and young as Marner is, I don't think that they take that. I don't think they trade that away. He's their anchor. I think he's their team captain, even though he's technically doesn't have the C. It's Foligno, you hot piece of garbage. I think Werenski becomes the guy where they say, okay, we'll eat this and send him away. Another team that was lifting the hardware last year, St. Louis. Maybe they look to add a little more offensive firepower. Marner for Colton Parayko, Robert Thomas, and a fourth-round pick from the Blues. It would take a lot to move Mitch Marner. There has to be a stud guy coming back. Colton Parayko, to me, is one of the best young defensemen in the league. His offensive game is still growing. It's not where the elites are for offensively, but defensively, he's a massive body, and he's one of the best defensemen. I think he would be on Team Canada today if a Team Canada lineup were to be made. Mitch Marner, I think, would be on a Team Canada lineup today. So that's two guys who are elite at their positions being traded. Robert Thomas just adds that younger offensive guy prospect that I think they would be willing to part ways with, and a fourth just to sort of sweeten it a little bit. One that I think is a massive pipe dream, but who knows? Marner and two firsts for McDavid. You're like, Marner for McDavid? What the fuck? Listen, it's a massive pipe dream. I already said this. But if Connor McDavid becomes unhappy in Edmonton, he's only made the playoffs one time in his tenure. Something to keep an eye on, you know? It wouldn't be a massive difference for the Toronto Maple Leafs if they're sending away a guy in Mitch Marner who's still really young and has that cap hit that's only about $2 million less than McDavid. Right? Does Matthews slide to the wing? And does Matthews play with McDavid? Oh my God. Imagine a nuclear line of Tavares, McDavid, and Matthews if you need a goal. I think they would legitimately score 4 goals in a minute. that would be absolutely mental. But again, that's the probability of that happening is like 0.5%. But McDavid is getting no help, man, and that Edmonton Oilers franchise just sucks. So we'll see. Can Kenny Holland get the job done? Because Peter Chiarelli sure as hell couldn't. That guy sucked big dicks. So maybe he gives him another shot. Like, I could see if they don't make the playoffs next year, if they're a bounce, I could see him saying, yo, I need out. Leon is one of the best players in the league, but like, they got no team. And I picked Chicago to beat Edmonton because Chicago as a team plays better than Edmonton as a team. And that's sad when you're comparing a 12th to a 5th seed. Okay, that's it for me. I'm done talking about the Leafs for this season. You know what I think needs to be done. If you made it this way, thank you very much. If you made it this far, thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate it. It would mean a lot to me if you hit the subscribe button on whatever podcaster you are listening to, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor. If you like listening to me, you can leave a 5-star review. That would be fantastic as well. It just means that I'm, you know, you enjoy what you're listening to, and that's all that really matters. I just want the best feedback. If you agree with something that I said on here, you disagree with something, or you just want a question answered regarding the Leafs, hit me up on Twitter. Like I said, at @TO_sportsviews. That's where I'm most active, and that's where you'll find me. So again, guys, rinse and repeat. Another year, another disappointment for the Leafs. Can they turn it around? Only time will tell. But I will always bleed blue. It's a blessing and a curse. And I know that Leafs fans all around the nation, all across the world, know this feeling all too well. But the pieces are there. The core is there. I believe in this group still. I believe in Dubas. I believe in Shanahan. I believe in Sheldon Keefe. I think they can get something done. Fingers crossed. And until next season, guys, I will see you later. Peace.
Thanks for listening. You can check us out on Twitter and Instagram at @TO_sportsviews. You can also listen to our previous podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, and more. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the content and click that subscribe button. See you next time.